Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Why are some Christians cowards? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for David and the courage he demonstrated. In contrast to everyone in an entire army, it's amazing. Help us to understand a little bit today about what made David so courageous and the others so fearful. Teach us, I pray, by your Holy Spirit, and I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Coward. Start with the first part. Cow. Doesn't have anything to do with the animal. To cow or be cowed is to be frightened by threats or by a show of force. Thus, a coward is one who has been cowed, one who lacks courage in the face of danger or pain, a timid person who has no honor because he is so easily frightened. The Philistine army came up against the Israeli army. Verse 1, the Philistines gathered together the armies to battle. Verse 2, Saul and the men of Israel gathered together. Verse 3, the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between. I want you to maintain that image. We'll look at that in a little bit of detail in a moment. Goliath put forth the challenge. Verse 8, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man." I want you to keep that in mind as well. "Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Saul and all Israel was dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 11. Dismayed, it's a synonym of the word coward. They were a bunch of cowards. And David comes along in verse 32, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." What made the difference between an army and a shepherd boy? What do electricians do? Well, they work with electricity. But what if an electrician is afraid of getting shocked? That's electrophobia. Did you know there was such a thing? What does a plumber do? He works with pipes and water. But what if the plumber is afraid of getting wet? Hydrophobia. What does a surgeon do? He performs surgery. But what if the surgeon is afraid of the sight of blood? Hemophobia. What does a farmer do? Plants things in dirt. But what if the farmer is afraid of getting dirty? Mysophobia. What does a soldier do? He fights the enemy and puts his life on the line. By the very nature of his occupation, he puts his life at risk every time he does his job. But what if the soldier is afraid of the enemy and afraid to die? Thanatophobia, the fear of dying. not a good thing for a soldier. Consider Goliath's challenge. He invited the Israeli soldiers to put their lives at risk, which should have been the simple fulfillment of their commitment as soldiers. Let someone come out and fight me. If he kills me, we serve you. If I kill him, you serve us. But these soldiers in the Israeli army 100% were unwilling to do so. How many soldiers were there in the Israeli army? 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 4. 200,000 footmen plus 10,000 men of Judah. 210,000 soldiers. And not one was willing to fight Goliath. These were experienced soldiers who had defeated the Amalekites in chapter 15. They've already been through war, and they've won. Why was there not one Israeli soldier out of 210,000 successful soldiers willing to face Goliath? Oh, he was a giant, I get it. But if a shepherd boy, not old enough yet to be in the army, was willing to face the giant, why not an experienced and victorious soldier? For 40 days, Goliath challenged the Israelites. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And for 40 days, the Israeli soldiers fled from him and were afraid. Verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. What was Israel's miscalculation? Let's acknowledge that Goliath was a giant. He was very big. Verse 4, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. A cubit is the distance from the tip of your longest finger to the elbow. The average length of that was 18 inches. Times 6 is 108 inches, which is equivalent of 9 feet. Add a span from the thumb to the finger, spread out. Even mine is 9 inches. 9 feet, 9 inches, approximately the height of the top of the curtain. David, you be our David today. Stand up there. Get this visual. Now, David's not a short fella. How tall are you? 5'9". There probably were not very many Israelites at the time that were 5'9". Look at David next to Goliath. And thank you, you can sit down. They tell us that sometimes the Israelites used a cubit of 20 and a half inches, which means Goliath would have been 11 feet tall, more than a head higher than the top of that curtain. He was big. He was also very strong. In verse 5, he wore a helmet of brass and a coat of mail. In verse 6, he wore greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. In verse 7, the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels. Now, the helmet, we don't know the weight of the helmet, but the helmet was not just like a hat. It was more like a football helmet or a motorcycle helmet. It covered most of the head. It draped, there would be a band around the helmet that would hang that kind of mail, you understand the armor type of mail, the weaving of the metal things, and it would be all around. I suppose it was rather heavy. The coat of mail, we're told, weighed 5,000 shekels. That's 156 pounds. From his shoulders to his waist. Greaves of on his legs, that's covering the thighs and the lower legs. We don't know the weight of that. A target on his back, that wasn't, you know, the circle with the bullseye. There's a difference of opinion as to what this actually was, as far as the commentators. It was either some type of armor or some type of weapon, but it hung on his back, held by a leather strap. His staff was the size of a weaver's beam, 16 feet long. And he used it as a spear. On the end of it, he had a spearhead that was 600 shekels, 19 pounds. The spearhead alone was 19 pounds. The whole spear would have weighed 37 pounds. With all of the armor and weaponry together, Goliath was carrying well over 200 pounds. That was a whole lot more than any one of the Israeli soldiers. Saul offered riches and other benefits as an incentive to fight. Verse 25. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up." They're talking to David. "And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Sounds like quite a bounty, but no takers. It wasn't enough. Saul himself said that youth was not sufficient. Verse 33, Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." Well, not one of the men of war among the 210,000 were willing to go. I don't know what youth had to do with it. Adult age didn't seem to be sufficient. And man-made tools did not appear to be sufficient. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. That is, he didn't really want to use these things, for he had not proved it. David had never used these things, and David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." Now, David had never used the armor, so he felt uncomfortable going against Goliath with him. But apparently this armor was not good enough anyway, because Saul didn't wear his armor to go out after Goliath. And remember, Saul was the tallest man among the Israelites. Why didn't Saul put his armor on and go after this guy? But David did. Verse 40, he took a staff in his hand. That's his shepherd's rod. And chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. Why five? He's only going after one man. Some suggest that Goliath had some brothers David was ready for. Put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before. Wait a minute. Goliath said, "This is going to be a one-on-one fight, right? One-on-one, send me a man." Remember that? But it appears that Goliath is not going alone. The man that bare the shield went before him. Oh, it's going to be 2-on-1. That doesn't seem fair. What's wrong with this giant that he still needs somebody else to carry a shield in front of him? Seems a little strange. Now remember, the Israeli soldiers are all lined up on top of a very high hill. And the Philistine soldiers are all lined up on top of a very high hill, and there's a valley in between. And it comes the morning of the 41st day. And all the soldiers are all lined up. And suddenly this young man starts to walk down the hill. He's just carrying a stick. From over here, that's all you can see. Can't see the sling in his other hand. Here comes this young man carrying a stick walking down the hill. Whoa, Goliath says, I've got a man. So he starts to walk down the hill. And the drama begins to build. Can you see them walking down the hill? Coming to the valley. I don't know how close they got to each other, but they were close enough for a conversation to take place. Verse 42. When the Philistine looked upon and saw David, he disdained him, that is, he regarded him with contempt, for he was three things, a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He was very young, he had red hair, and he was very light-skinned and handsome. The Philistine, Goliath, would have been dark-complected, dark hair, and his face would have been weather-beaten from a lot of warring. And this little light-skinned, red-haired boy seemed such an offense to this massive warrior. Verse 43, the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? All he sees is the stick. He doesn't see the sling. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now, David is not intimidated. He just talks right back to Goliath. Here he is, barely up to the belt buckle of Goliath. In verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee with a stick and a sling. No, that's not what he said, is it? I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. So David is facing a 16-foot spear with a 19-pound spearhead with the name of the Lord. Verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David apparently knew some things about God that no one else knew. Hosea chapter 1, verse 7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And this is what David did. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. Don't you love some of these old English words? He slang it. When's the last time you said he slang it? I love that. I don't know how close he was, but he was an amazing marksman with a sling. Now, this wasn't the kind of, you know, sling like this. This was a pouch and two long straps. You put the stone in the pouch, you pull the strap together, and you go like this, twirling, 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 until you get it going at the right speed. You let go of one of the strings, which releases the stone from the pouch, and it hits its mark. Where did it hit? Smote the Philistine in his forehead. Whew. Thud. I don't know if Philistine was totally dead at this point, but he was definitely on the ground. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine in verse 50 with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine. So this young man stands on top of the Philistine. He took the Philistine's sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof. I don't know how big this sword was, but if it's comparable to the other things that Goliath was carrying, it must have been pretty hefty, which indicates that even though David is not yet 20 years old, he's no weakling. He pulls out this sword of Goliath, verse 51, and cut off his head therewith. Just David knew what he was going to do. And you know what David does with the head? David goes all the way to Jerusalem and takes the head of Goliath to Jerusalem. Now, at this time, the Jebusites are living in Jerusalem. The Israelites do not possess the city of Jerusalem. David knows he's been anointed to be the next king. David has already written a couple of the Psalms, at least. David already has a sense that the Holy Spirit is with him. David already has a sense of what God wants to do with his life. And apparently, he already knows that God wants Jerusalem. He takes the head of Goliath to Jerusalem and says, guess who's coming? The victory was not in the actual fight, but in the heart of David, which made it possible for him to face the giant. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. Look at the very end of the verse, verse 40. He drew near to the Philistine. Something no one else was willing to do. Think about that. They're all lined up over here. They're all lined up over here. Goliath steps forth and makes the challenge. 40 days, nobody moved except to go that way. But David drew near to the Philistine. Do you understand what courage it took to do that? And that courage doesn't come from a sword. It doesn't come from a bow and arrow. It doesn't come from armor. It doesn't come from a horse. It doesn't come from size or age. It comes from a sense that God is with me. We don't need swords, spears, armor, bows, horse, might, or power to defeat our enemies. All we need is God. I read to you this verse at the beginning of the service this morning, Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Romans 8, verse 31. See it on the page and be reinforced by the words that came from God himself. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What do Christians do? I'll tell you what we don't do. We don't avoid the difficult tasks because they're too hard. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We face the hard things in life with courage. That's what Christians do. We face the hard things in life with courage. Not because we're big. Not because we're skilled. But because God is with us. We face giants with confidence, with courage, with determination, with faith, and with certainty that according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Courage, my friends. Courage. God is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the courage that David had because he had you. May we have that same courage no matter what, no matter how hard life may become. May we have the courage that David had because you are on our side. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.